Joining us now is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, always appreciate our sit-downs with you. It was the Malik Willis show on Saturday night. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we continue to see him kind of grow and get better. And I think that, you know, it should be an encouraging thing. The thing for me, just year over year, watching preseason games is like trying not to get too excited about stuff, just kind of remembering how all that goes. Like, there's definitely been moments where I feel like there's been overreaction, both like good and bad on somebody, whether it's a starter or a backup. But I just would say this, and I think we talked about it last week. He looks like a different player. Like, is he perfect? No, but he looks like a different player than he was a year ago.
And I'm with you there. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. I would agree that he looks much improved. He looks much more confident. He looks like he has a much better grasp and hold of the offense. But one thing that I've wanted to make sure that at least I do is compare Malik to what he needs to be this season, or compare Malik to Will Levis, not just comparing him to what he was this past season. But what you've seen from Malik so far throughout the preseason, do you think that he can become a starting quarterback in this league?
I still think he has a chance to become one. I don't think he's one right now, right? So, say there was a situation where, Ryan was injured and, you know, he needed to go into the season as the starter, they'd be in a bad spot. Mm-hmm. And I think you look around the league and you'd say, Jacoby Brissett, like, is it perfect? No, but, like, he's prepared to go be a starter. Like, I think Malik... I think he needs more time. Now, like, saying all that, I think everyone also has to remember, like, when he was drafted, like, he was always viewed as a developmental prospect. And that doesn't mean the development happens just in one season. So do I think he could still be a starter? Yeah, I do. Do I think he is right now? No. Like, but I would compare him, like, if you were to say, well, like, tell me somebody that, you know, needed some time to develop, but you think they are a starter. Like, I think Sam Howell is going to play well as a starter. Like, I had a bunch of his games in college. I know what his ability is. But he needs to develop coming from the offense he was coming from at North Carolina to, you know, being in the type of offense he's going to play in Washington. So I'm not saying he's ready yet right now, but I do think Malik Willis does have the potential to still become a starting caliber quarterback.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, do you think we would be looking at Malik a little bit different had he not played at all last season?
Yeah, because the curiosity of how good you think he might be would bring you to a place where you would think more highly of him. Like, last year just was bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in some ways it's a little bit like Jordan Love. Like, Jordan Love has a start. Remember, like, Jordan Love started a game before, and it was against the Kansas City Chiefs, and it wasn't great. And so there's no doubt that some of the trepidation on what Jordan Love's going to be is because, like, you've seen him. Like, if he hadn't played at all, there would just be this feeling of, well, he's going to be amazing. Remember how good he was? Like, it's a little bit like, you know, the mystery a lot of times makes, you know, everyone just is like, assumes like, hey, well, this young prospect's going to come in and play great. And then when you see him, you're like, yeah, okay. Like, I guess there are some warts, you know, to his game. And so because of that, I think it brings expectations down a little bit.
Now, do you think it's beneficial? I'm going to ask you something about Will Levis, but I'm ask you this about a backup quarterback, especially in this situation. Do you think it's beneficial that Vrabel names a backup quarterback? Because even if he does name one, if it doesn't work, say if Ryan Tannehill goes down and say whoever he names as starter doesn't do well the first time he gets an opportunity to play, he's then going to possibly switch to the other guy anyway. So is it beneficial to name a backup quarterback?
I think it's a great question, because I think that when somebody's a starter, you want that guy to feel like, hey, I'm a starter, and like, I'm not going to get benched the first time I make a mistake. I think that's important for anybody who's a starter, whether it's the guy that starts the season or the guy who's starting week six because of an injury. So I do think that's important. At the same time, I would say having been a backup, having been a third quarterback, how you feel that week in practice is so different when you're the two versus when you're the three. When you're the third, you feel like you're an eternity from the field. Like, and people will say, oh, you're only two snaps away and this and that. Like, that's totally different than being one snap away. And so I do think this idea of like an edge and preparation and competition and preparation of every week of being like, hey, listen, guys, we believe in both of you. I'm not like every week might be different in terms of who the backup is and who the emergency third is. Every week could be different. And we're going to base it on how we feel that week. So, like, that's how we're going to approach this. I actually don't think that would be a bad thing, as long as when it came time for that guy to play, to know that, you know, he had your full confidence as a coach.
Now, with Will Levis not being able to play in the last preseason game because of an injury, if he's healthy enough, should he take more of the first team reps if Ryan Tannehill doesn't play?
You're saying should Levis get the
opportunity? Should Levis, because he didn't play in the second game because of the injury.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can do it at the expense of, you know, the reps that or how you would want to divvy up the reps, right? Like, and so, and you know this, like, when a guy gets injured in camp, you know, the coaches aren't looking for a way to be like, hey, you know, how can I help that guy back out? They're more like, hey, man, like, when you get hurt, you lose opportunity. I mean, that's just, like, that's how they look at it. And even if it's, like, not your fault or whatever, it's just like, look, part of this business is, are you available to compete every time that we get a chance to do that? So, you know, I want to change it just, like, for his sake. That's not – I certainly wouldn't do it that way. You know, my sense would be, because of how this has gone, like, you're going to do what you need to do to get Ryan ready. I mean, the hope is – I mean, and I know that we've all talked about Levis and Willis like crazy, but, like, the hope is those guys don't see the field. I mean, that is really what they hope, right? And so with that, you get Ryan ready, and then – look, in terms of the other guys, like, if you feel like Malik's got the edge, then you got to continue to reward him with the reps.
Yeah, and the only reason I was asking, Tim, because we got a lot of questions yesterday on Will Levis, and he should play because he didn't play, you know, in last game. He should be given an opportunity to play more this game just to make the competition a little bit more balanced.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I understand people asking that, and in some ways it's logical, being like, hey, we had those missed opportunities, we need to catch up on that. I guess what I would say is, from my experience, there isn't like a sympathy factor for that. Like, I've never seen that, really. Like, that would be a new thing for me, and like, maybe you've seen it, where it's like, now, I've seen people, like, ramp somebody's reps up because, you know, they missed time. And so somebody who had been healthy, had been taking advantage of those reps, like, kind of took it on the chin in terms of their opportunity. Like, I don't know that I have any recollection of seeing that happen.
Tim, what's your philosophy on starting quarterbacks playing in the preseason?
I think that you can't play scared because you could get hurt week one. And so whether it's Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Tua, whether it's somebody far less established, like, I'm actually okay with guys playing in the preseason. And I understand the risk that comes with it, but I'll give you an example of why I think it matters. The Jets' offensive line has taken a ton of heat. Now, I think the offensive line is going to look drastically different when Zach Wilson is the quarterback in comparison to when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback.
Right.
Aaron gets rid of the ball quicker. Aaron understands issues that you may have protection-wise and will play accordingly. And I think that matters. And so I think that matters for the group of five guys that's going to be playing in front of them. And so it's like, well, why would you play Aaron Rodgers? Your season's over if he gets hurt. I agree with that. But it is a team sport, and those five guys in front of him matter in how where they are going into the season in terms of how they feel like they're playing, I think also matters.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, I want to get your thoughts on the current state of the running back situation in the NFL now that we have some new tea, some new developments on the Jonathan Taylor front, so we'll get into that on the other side. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 6.05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, is with us now. Tim, the Colts have granted Jonathan Taylor permission to seek a trade. Realistically, what's the market for Jonathan Taylor, or even just a running back of his caliber?
Well, I think the market, when you have to sign him to a new deal that you would think would be, to reset the running back market, and also probably have to give up a first rounder and maybe more to get him. Like, I don't think there's a market for that. I think there might be some teams that call the Colts and say, like, hey, like, what are you looking for? And then talk to Taylor and figure out what he's looking for. But I think when they figure out what that is, they're going to be like, yeah, we're not doing that. And so I think this is just a move by the Colts to say, all right, you're asking us for this money. Like, go find it from somewhere else, like, because you're not. And if you can, then we'll try to work out a trade compensation with that team for it. But it's going to end up being really high. Like, I don't see that happening. Like, to me, this is their way of saying, like, you don't have any leverage. Go figure out, go check and see what you can find, because the reality is for us, you're under contract this year, and we can franchise you next year. So, like, we have you for 2 years under $15 million, basically. Like, what do you think is out there? Like, look what happened to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, you know, was in the situation that you would be in next year and couldn't even find action. So I think it's the Colts' way of basically kind of saying to him, like, look, you're not going to get what you're asking for.
Right. I feel like almost in a way it's like the Colts calling his bluff. Like, go ahead, you know, go sow your wild oats. But what percentage chance would you give it that Jonathan Taylor is in a Colts uniform this season?
I would say that he's on their roster 100%. That he's in a Colts uniform, I think, could get a little interesting. You know, he's coming off I think he's coming off the ankle injury. You know, how healthy and how soon he's ready, you know, that becomes his leverage, right? I mean, you know, there are a lot of guys that are, you know, they're not holding out, they're holding in, and they're just, you know, got a little soreness in that hamstring. And, you know, eventually that can push a team to being so upset about it that they're just like, look, we're done with you and we're going to move on and see what we can get for you and do it that way. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to do that, but I don't know the team that's going to be like, yeah, here's our first rounder and we're going to make him the highest paid running back. Especially when and the Colts have to accept whatever the compensation is. Like, I don't see that happening, which is why I think he remains a Colt.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, the second go around for CJ Stroud was much better. What did you see from him? Because obviously, I think Houston's pretty happy with his second go rather than his first go around.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, kind of one of those things where, like, sample size can make you feel that way. You know, mm-hmm. you first go around and it's not great, and then you're out of the game, and next, you know, it's like, well, shoot, we didn't have a whole lot to feel happy about, and then you have to some success next time out. And it's like, man, this is drastically different. And so I think that there's an element of that. Look, his ability is clear. Like, he's a really talented thrower of the football. And he's played a lot of football. And so I think, like, he's a guy that, look, like a lot of young quarterbacks, there are going to be highs and lows. His good stuff, I think, is going to be really good because of the way the ball comes out of his hand. The fact that he is a, or has been at least, a very accurate thrower. And so, yeah, I think there have been enough. And I feel the same way about, like, pretty much all of these rookie quarterbacks to say, like, there have been things where you're like, all right, this is good and this is encouraging for all of them. And so Stroud's no different in that regard.
Now, do you think Kyle Shanahan dodged a bullet, he and Lynch, with the whole quarterback situation? They give up all those picks to get Trey Lance. It seems like because of injury, it hasn't worked out or isn't going to work out. But because you drafted Brock Purdy, you know, in the last round, the last person, and he's become your starter. So it's sort of worked out, but, you know, you gave up a lot of picks for a guy that may not ever be your starter.
Yeah, like, are they getting the amount of criticism that other teams would get for doing what they did for Trey Lance? Like, my answer to that would be no. Like, they botched that. Now, they had some of it right in the sense of their issue with Jimmy Garoppolo was he could not stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't like, hey, Jimmy's a bad player. They're like, look, he can't stay healthy. That's our issue. That's why we're doing this at the quarterback position. So they go and get Lance. Clearly a developmental prospect, not a ton of action in college, at a lower level, and then he gets hurt. He's played virtually no football. They would have the best roster without a quarterback in the National Football League if Brock Purdy didn't go on the tear that he went on last year. And, look, in fairness, look, they dumbed into the Brock Purdy thing, right? Like, Brock Purdy wasn't even a lock to make the roster a year ago. Brock Purdy, and I had one of his games in college, Brock Purdy was not a perfect prospect, right? Like, he was, he had good games. He had the crazy blow-up interception games. And so, like, not a lock to make the roster. He plays remarkable for them last year. They are all in on Brock Purdy. That's great if Brock Purdy plays the way he did last year. But, you know, for all the talk we had last year with, you know, hey, can Tua throw the ball deep enough to be the full-time starter for the Miami Dolphins? Well, shouldn't we be having that conversation about Brock Purdy? Like, Brock Purdy came in with less physical ability, and now he's coming off of elbow surgery. And so now this talented Niners, you know, team and offense, like, is Purdy have the ability to attack all areas of the field that you need to be able to attack? Like, I think there's still a question mark with that.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. All right, Tim, I got another one for you. Percentage chance that Corey Davis is in a Jets uniform this season.
Ooh. Oh, God. Listen, as a guy that was cut 8 times, like, I want to have sensitivity. Questions like that, because, like, this doesn't feel like a trade scenario. I'll say 70 to 75.
70 to 75. That's a lot higher than I thought. But, okay, but within that 25 to 30% chance that Corey Davis could get cut by the New York Jets, at least in the Tim Hasselbeck Sportsbook, if he becomes available, should that be a name, a player that the Titans look into potentially signing?
Yes.
Re-signing, rather.
Yes, for sure. Look, I think he's a good player. He's found himself as, like, you know, he hit the market at a time where there was, you know, not a lot of receivers hitting the market. He was coming off of a productive season. He signed a bigger contract than he would have signed in previous years or other years. And then with how it's worked out there, especially with between quarterback play and now drafting a younger guy that they'll clearly want to be the number one wide receiver. He for sure would be somebody that I would be interested, because you know him as a player, you know his, and you know what you could get out of him. And I think you would end up being a good fit with the current guys you have. And then, listen, you're already talking about injury situations in that wide receiver room with, you know, a projected, you know, 1A, 1B receiver and starter. And so, yeah, that would be a concern.
Interesting. Mm. Well, Tim, appreciate you stopping by. Always appreciate your insight. Tim Hasbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Appreciate you. We'll chat with you next week.
See you guys.
Awesome. Right. Thanks, Tim. All right, let's react to that coming up next. Because I asked him, should the Titans potentially be interested if, and let me say, when Corey Davis gets released by the Jets? He said, yes, 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 absolutely. Our reaction's coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Silly Underdog Picks is back, so make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as week zero of college football kicks off this weekend. Finally, people, we have made it. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. 1025, 1063, The Game.